You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
Hey guys, it's Rory. How's everyone doing? Welcome to Living the Dream. I have a really, really awesome guest this week. I'm so excited. I've been trying to make this work out. He's a busy, busy guy. Christopher Jackson is talking with me this week. He's in between a new TV show, Bull on CBS, and that show Hamilton that he does at the same time, and a family. He's the best. He's such a good guy. You know, he's been in a bunch of Broadway shows, including, of course, In the Heights, which is what I knew him from, and what so many of us knew him from originally, and now plays George Washington in Hamilton. And he is so talented, so incredible in the show, but to have gotten to know him over the past 7 months since I've been in Hamilton, he is such a stand-up dude. You know, I don't know what else to call him. He's remarkable and a leader, and, you know, I love that I get to talk with him about that. And kind of hear his theories on why he does what he does. And, you know, he's got really good standards on why we are on a stage and what our responsibility is as actors in telling a story. And I'm glad I get to share that with you, this really, really awesome conversation. And the ups and downs and the craziness of being in Hamilton, which is something I've gotten to only have a taste of. He was there from the beginning, and he knows Lynn and that whole team that put this show together. They're all brothers, friends, and it's really interesting to hear what he has to say about it. I'm also working on a solo show, Out of the Basement. It's my debut solo show at 54 Below, and I am so excited. The music we're putting together is so much fun. So much of it came from what I used to listen to as a kid in my basement in Cleveland when I was growing up, an only child. No friends, just really putting on musicals for myself, by myself, playing all the different roles. And the show is kind of, a tribute to that and to a bunch of other things as well. But I'm going to be doing some Disney, some Bette Midler, and a bunch of other really campy, fun, and crazy musical numbers. it's gonna be a blast. And if you can make it, you should come December 11th and 12th at 54 Below. It's also like I want to talk about that on the podcast because it's really scary to do something that is on your own. Obviously, I have a wonderful musical director, Stephen Remus, and folks that are helping me out. My director is Darren Katz, and I have a choreographer, Mr. Will Taylor, my good friend from college, and we're working on some movement so that I can have some movement. But I'm deciding what it is and writing it and putting together the songs, and it's just so scary. You know, I always think that I'm going to get over the fear of putting something out there, but I never do. And maybe that's just part of it. You just have to like acknowledge the fear and embrace it, give it a big hug and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to do this. And you're just going to have to sit in the back seat. Because I'm always scared. I'm like, why am I doing this? This is crazy. I could just be watching Netflix. but it's such a great opportunity, and I'm really excited for it, even though I'm scared. And I hope you can come. And here is my interview with Christopher Jackson.
Hi.
Hi. So this is a big week for you. The last week of Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah. Sure. Just.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
Kinda, and not ambivalent about it. You know, it's been such an awesome, awesome experience. Like, every single day has been wonderful and trying, and it just tests you every single day,
yeah.
as you know. And I haven't had a chance to, like, smell any of the roses. Like, none of them. I've just been looking at them as the, you know, as the train is sort of, let me just mix any more metaphors. it's just been moving so fast. For so long.
Yeah.
And after a while, the only thing that pulls you out of it is the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a strange thing. I've never experienced anything like it. Like, yeah. anything close to it. Nothing. You know, I was happier than this when my children were born and when my wife decided to marry me. But yeah. outside of that, like, every day has been another thing, you
yeah.
know, another wonderful experience, or, you know, and I just haven't had a chance to adequately enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who, as the rest of the world.
Right. You've been in a bubble.
Yeah. That gets to come and see it and then, you know, walk away and sort of process it. There's been no processing.
Right. Right. It's hard to, when you're in it, when you're in the 8 times a week.
Yeah.
Maintenance.
And it also becomes difficult to meet the enthusiasm of people outside of the stage, off the stage.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that relationship that we have with the audience
it's very unique.
But there are fences there. So it's easier to kind of, like, appreciate that enthusiasm as the work is going on, as opposed to, you know, walking down the street and someone grabbing, you know, my sweatshirt
right.
while I'm walking to the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's a strange kind of thing.
And that's, I mean, as much as In the Heights was such a huge hit, this has got to be a different
stratosphere.
Stratosphere.
Completely. It doesn't.
Yeah.
The two experiences don't come close to one another.
Yeah.
And in a lot of respects, Heights, Heights hits me in a completely different place than this show does,
right.
emotionally, as Chris, you know, mm-hmm. as a fan of the theater and as a spectator, an audience member, an actor, like, it clicks all of the boxes. And this is a completely, this creates boxes for them to be checked. You know what
right,
I mean?
Like,
I just never experienced anything like
well,
this.
Well, it's almost impossible for anyone to have experienced something like this before in
yeah.
Broadway, because there hasn't been something like this before.
Right.
So, you know, I walked into it thinking, I was in the Book of Mormon, I kind of get what a big hit is, you know, mm-hmm. I'll be fine. And I really, truly found myself overwhelmed, especially that period between the Tonys and the July 9th date when Lynn
yeah,
left.
Yeah.
The pandemonium around the theater, it felt unnerving
yeah.
at points. Like, you know, it is
yeah.
it's beautiful and it's wonderful, but there were moments where I was a little anxious.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't say a little. I was really anxious.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine. It was then when I realized what I had walked into, where you guys had been experiencing that for a year.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it could be argued that it was maybe a little easier for us only because we had been in that for a while.
Right. You saw it happen over a period of time.
It's the idea of, like, you know, when you're in the ocean and you're standing out there, you're up to your waist, and you turn around because one of your friends, you know, yells to you from the beach.
Yeah.
And just as you're about to turn around, that wave just sort of smacks
right.
you over the head, and you're completely, like, submerged.
Yeah.
And you come up, and it was exhilarating, like, oh my God. And that happened 20 times a day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know? I felt that in where I am in the show, so I can't imagine.
Yeah,
you and
yeah,
and you guys, it's amazing. And so a lot of what we talk about on this podcast are the dealing with the ups and the downs. And certainly Hamilton is an up, you know, in the overall. It's got a lot of its challenges and things that you have to deal with to stay grounded.
Yeah.
But what are some of the, you know, you haven't always been in Hamilton before getting here, before getting into In the Heights, what was your story into getting into this business? And
oh, well, I moved to New York when I was 17, and I went to AMDA,
uh-huh.
American
Where,
Music
where'd
Dramatic
you move
Academy.
From?
I moved from Cairo, Illinois, mm-hmm. and I wasn't one of those kids that was in theater my whole high school life, right. You know, like I wanted to play sports. That's where my heart was, and I loved singing, but there was so much of me that I was still trying to find.
Yeah.
You know, coming from where I come from and the home situation that I had. And New York really represented an opportunity for me to just to walk down the street in my own skin. You know, after coming from a very small town in southern Illinois, like, it was a real, it's sort of, the search had begun.
Yeah.
The moment that I, you know, that my mom, you know, shut the door and they drove away.
Right.
You know, like, that was, for me, being, you know, a fairly difficult childhood, to the extent that emotionally for me there was a lot of conflict in my house. And so...
Right.
I was constantly escaping or constantly looking for my identity, not just in my friends or in my community, but just for myself, you know,
right.
and didn't have a lot of guidance in that respect. And so being in New York gave me an opportunity, and being in the theater gave me an opportunity to say, okay, this is somewhere, this is a craft in which, and a life in which I feel like I can find identity in.
Yeah.
And I can strive for excellence and actually see, you know, that work reflected in the kind of work that I get to do.
Right.
You know.
So you kind of looked at it as like a sport, as an athlete.
I still do.
I see that.
Yeah, I still
in
do.
You right now, yeah.
I still do.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, and it created a great framework for me to kind of understand the process by which you have to pass through certain, you know, gauntlets to get through and to the next level.
Yeah.
My first Broadway show was The Lion King in May of 97.
Wow.
And that, I was 20. I was 21 when I booked the job. And I was cast as the understudy for Simba and in the ensemble. And, you know, you talk about big shows like Lion King is one of those sort of like benchmark shows,
right,
of the modern Broadway era, and that it the pageantry, the sheer size, the fact that Disney is the one that produced it, like all of these amazing things, the fact that it was a black show,
right?
You know, it looking back on it now, and you know, Hamilton is my seventh Broadway show, you know, 20 years later,
right?
It's crazy to me how I've managed to navigate through that whole time. And I wish, if there was one show that I've been a part of that has prepared me for this experience, it was Lion King.
Yeah.
Because then I was in the ensemble and I was watching, you know, principals doing all publicity and press. Like, they don't teach you about that in school,
no.
You know? And so I was watching them and learning how that sort of the ebb and flow and how fast things go, and then
right.
The recognition, you know, and then my friend Heather goes and does something like Aida that is sort of, you know, like this amazing, you know, moment,
right.
You know. And then I left Lion King after almost 5 years. I eventually moved on to do Simba there, so I was, you know, my first principal role at like
right.
24.
Jeez.
And I did that for several years, had knee surgeries and physical and some injuries from the show and things like that. But by the time that I had finished my run at Lion King, I found quite a bit of disillusionment about what I perceived the business to be and what my place was in it. And
yeah.
I just felt like there was a time where I felt like I didn't know if this was going to work out.
Right. At 24.
Yeah.
And you are having that moment on Broadway.
Yeah.
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 Because, you know, like you get here and you think, and here's the thing, like I always tell people now, you know, getting the work is a difficult thing, but working when you have the job is something that you have to, it's a humbling thing because you're being asked to do the same thing that 20 other people on stage are doing, and you're doing it and you're killing it, but you may be working harder than you need to,
right.
Or you may not be as focused about it's all about the particulars and the details of how we approach our work every day that makes all the difference in the world. Like,
right.
One of my biggest pet peeves is seeing another actor cut up on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the little theater sports that actors do. But, you know, to me, like, it's really not that difficult to focus like that for in the show 2 hours and 42 minutes. It's not difficult.
No. It's hard.
But it's a choice that you have to make. Yeah. You know.
I get that, and I think that. But that's, you see yourself in a leadership position of the team, and I see that. You know, like it's funny because when I came back to see the show, after I was asked to be in it, the first time I saw it, I called up my husband, and he was like, "Is it still as amazing as we thought? Thought it was? You know, we're gonna make this whole big life change for this amazing show." And I said, "Yeah." And Christopher Jackson is giving you 1,000% on a matinee. Like, I remember seeing you up on the top level dancing with your cape. You were whipping it around. I was like, "This man on a matinee in March is giving every single fiber of his being to this performance."
I say this, and I don't say this just because, you know, we're recording it. Like, the one thing, I was blessed to work with some men and women that had been in this business longer than I had been alive at that point.
Yeah.
You know, had been on Broadway in the 60s and in the 70s, and knew, had seen, you know, the opportunities that had been created in the great shift in, of society and theater and all of this stuff. And I never saw them play around.
Yeah.
I never saw them take a second off. Because it's not that hard to do.
Right.
It's simply a matter of realizing the importance of the power that you wield on a stage over an audience. And if you ask them to, like, suspend disbelief for a while, you just can't let them down.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. and physically it's hard, and mentally it's hard, and emotionally it gets, you know, draining. But think about what it's like to be, you know, a 15-year-old kid who's got a, you know, who's been raised by a single mother who doesn't have $150 for two or three or four tickets, but somehow they've made a way out of no way, and they're sitting there today. And I've been in an audience where I've seen an actor take off, and I've gotten up and I've left.
Yeah.
Because there's just nothing more disrespectful than that to me.
Yeah.
Because I can't watch the show the same way.
Right.
I have to believe that everybody is in the world that you've created. And the second that I see just a quick little turn to the right or the left, leave the world, like, oh, you don't care about me now.
Yeah.
Well, now I have to go.
Yeah.
The relationship that we have has now been damaged. And rather than, you know, I don't know. I say all of that to say, like, every day that I've come here, you know, this show has, and being on the stage in general, it serves as salvation for me. It serves as my therapy. It serves as my insight into my own character, into the character of the people that I work with, and the character of the ghosts that we honor, that have gone long before us, but because of their work, we're standing here today. It's a very sacred space to me, in a world where spaces like that don't exist.
Right.
They're few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, to me, the greatest honor that I can have is the respect of my peers.
Right.
And the greatest gift that I can give to another actor on stage is my respect, because that respect puts me in a position to support you in the best possible way.
Yeah.
And that's not something that you get watching American Idol or a live version of some show on TV.
Right.
You don't get those little things, and no teacher can teach you that. That's a lesson that if you're lucky, you'll get it.
Yeah.
And you'll take it to heart, or you may have to wait, if ever, for it to come back around. And
right.
That's sort of, so theater for me has always been that space that rescued me from the moments that I may not have been able to handle outside of, you know, in as a civilian in the world. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think that I wouldn't say it's a high standard. It's just the standard.
No, it's,
you
it,
know,
it's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's high.
It's not.
Because it is something that is required of us.
Right.
You know, and for the most part, that's the standard that we meet.
Yeah.
By being brave enough to offer our work on stage every
right.
night.
But know? I would say that it is, you are that person, that teacher that you had, that had the experience that you learned from. You are that person for so many people in this building at the Richard Rogers.
Well,
I think that
I
you are a
so,
leader, you know, and that...
you know, you lead a prayer circle before every show, and yeah. I'm in that prayer circle every show. I don't know who I'm praying to exactly, yeah, but I'll
right.
tell you what.
That's all right, though.
I know that I am communing with my team before we go out on the field. Yep. You know, that's what it feels like to
that's
me.
That's what it is, though.
You know?
That's what it is. It's as intrinsic an exercise
yeah.
as anything that we'll do upstairs because...
Yeah.
You know, God forbid anything goes wrong, we are all we got.
Yeah.
God forbid, you know, someone hurts themselves. Mm-hmm. I want the first person that's got their arm around me to be one of my brothers and
right.
sisters on stage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and things go wrong, and
yeah,
we are here to
all
carry
the time,
each other.
You know, but we're here to care for each other as we care for the audience.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something about just holding a hand, taking a breath together, and
yeah.
and just recommitting ourselves to the work.
It's
you know?
Actually, it's really. Helped me because it keeps me present. It's like waking me up and say, hey, it's a
yeah.
new show.
Yeah.
Wake up. You know, and usually you say something like, there's a kid out in that audience.
That's
who we're doing it for today. And, you know, it's incredibly helpful because, you know, you're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of shows and they can all kind of become the same thing.
Yeah.
But every single one is a new game.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, also like, you know, it's one thing. There's 150 people that make this show work every night.
Yeah.
But there's 1,300 people out there, and there's a lot of emotional energy. There's a lot of someone out there is confused. Someone out there is hurt.
Right.
Someone out there is exhilarated. Someone out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's there's never been a study. I don't know if there's a word for it, but we feel all of that.
It's true.
You know,
that
being
is
upstairs.
True. Yeah.
Standing in that under that presenting on an open stage, like you feel all of that. You are constantly processing all of that emotional and spiritual information.
Yeah.
So it always is. I always found it's also good to be. You know, it's always good to just feel and absorb and have that covering so that you are protected as you offer yourself
right.
to all those folks.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've also had to do a lot of juggling in your. Personal life and your professional life, at least since I've been here, because
yeah, yeah.
you are doing a TV show
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Yeah.
Bull
on
CBS.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit
Who?
Already.
It's crazy.
It's a big
it's,
hit.
It's crazy.
You're already a huge Broadway star and soon to be just a household name on TV, I'm sure of it. And you also have a family.
Yeah.
You have kids.
Yeah,
and a
babies.
Wife. Yeah. So... You know, that to me is just so impressive to be able to be as present as you are here, to put the commitment in, while on top of that you have so many other commitments at home. And it's not just to the team, to the cast, it's to the people at the stage door, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying this because you're about to walk out the door, but there, I am amazed at how much time you take to say hello to every single fan, to go out that stage door every night and take the time to say thank you and to appreciate what they've given you that night, knowing that you have kids, that you have a family, knowing that you have another job that you're starting to have to really
yeah.
give a lot of time to.
Well, okay, it becomes easier when I compartmentalize everything, right?
Uh-huh.
It becomes a lot easier when... If you just break it down to on a macro level, like you walk out of the stage door and there are probably 100, 150 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 150 people, you're going to sign 75 to 100 autographs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of that group, there's always between 5 and 15 or so kids under the age of 15.
Right.
Who, for the rest of their lives, are going to talk about that moment,
mm-hmm.
right? So... People, you're like the third or fourth person in the last few days that have mentioned, like, somebody tweeted it to me. I guess maybe that's why it's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you took the time to look me in my eye and say thank you and ask
right.
my name, right? Now, if I'm going to walk down that line and just sign the autographs and
yeah.
be out, that's understandable and, that's fine.
Right.
But if you take 20 more seconds, man, you've brought the whole experience full circle.
Right.
Because whoever's sitting out there has been waiting for... More likely for months,
mm-hmm.
has been listening to the soundtrack, has been gobbling up anything they can on the internet,
yeah.
like following Twitter, Instagram, all of the outlets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a 15-year-old kid I'm on my computer and I'm looking up every single, just like I did with like memorizing the backs of baseball cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I could always tell, I could tell you what Daryl Strawberry hit in 87. You know, like it was, that was my thing, right? It was all that kind of data. But all of this new stuff is out now. And so here we are. It's like this experience has happened. It's never going to happen again. And this kid is standing there.
Yeah.
And all I've got to do is sign an autograph. And while I'm here, let me just say hi.
Yeah.
You know, be a human being.
Right. But
now, I haven't done it 1,000% of the time. There have been nights where I've had I got a 6 o'clock call.
Yeah.
I can't take pictures tonight.
Right.
But I can sign. And by the end of the time I get to the end of the line, I'm taking pictures and doing the whole thing.
Right.
But I enjoy that part. It is a full circle thing. There were a few instances in my life growing up where I got to meet an athlete that I just watched play a game.
Right.
And it was always a little disappointing because they're a person now and they're going about their business and they're doing their thing, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just feels like the right thing to do. It feels like the human thing to do. And, and if you take 2 seconds to put yourself in that position, like people have said some astounding, just the most beautiful things to me.
Yeah.
You know, I had a veteran who come up to me this last summer. Is like, you know, I served in Iraq. I did 3 tours in Iraq. And I just want to say, like, whether it's your intention to or not, you honor us.
Wow.
You honor soldiers. You honored my work. You've honored my injury, my sacrifice. And I'm like, that's the kind of thing that stops you cold, because look, we're acting on stage.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real, you know, there's real honor in that. But to the same extent, I think there's a great amount of honor in what we do.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And, you know, I can't remember the Greek
general. And a responsibility.
Huge responsibility.
I think it's a lot of responsibility.
You know, there's just something to be said for being a human being about stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, being willing to be the person that really, like... You know, I haven't done it and I don't do it, but I so many times have to stop myself to say, hey, you guys, you know what? At least 3 or 4 times a week.
Right.
Go outside. And then, and that's one of the things that helps to kind of fuel going back into this thing.
Yeah.
Shows a week. Very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredibly helpful.
I mean, I think though that what's amazing to me is that, like, when I was doing Book of Mormon, I never missed one night. Never. Going to the stage door, because I was, you know, the same thing. But I didn't have 150 people outside,
you know,
the stage
but
door
that's
every
the
night.
Show too,
so
you know, it, what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
but then there was
thing.
You know what I realized with Book of Mormon is that we always thought we had young people there. Well, they were freshmen in college.
Right.
This is 7-year-old children who know every single word.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different thing.
Experience,
yeah. But the amount of care that you take with each person, and, you know, even with people who we've brought, you know, my mom.
I love your mother, Mr. Jackson.
She's never done this, but like literally from the get-go, when she first came to see the show, she wouldn't leave until she could take a picture with you.
That's my girl.
She said,
"That's my girl."
And then the last time or fourth time seeing it, she said to me, "Now, who's going to be playing Washington?" Well, what does it matter when your son's the king, Mom?
I got to meet all your aunts, too. That was great.
You are very popular
with
the O'Malley clan back in Cleveland, Ohio.
That's good.
But, you know, that's because you have a gift for that. And I think that's also another part of the success of this show, because you, Lynn, and so many other people who have been involved, Tommy, you know, like people who are not just good at their craft on stage, but they're good at their ability to share that with the world and to let people in.
They were like that before anybody knew who they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, they have been, the consistency of their character has been something that, was very easy to see very early on.
Yeah.
And that's why when you pair that with prodigious talent, incredible intuition.
Yeah.
And a level of intelligence applied to a thing that called this theater that has happened before.
Yeah.
But not as much, I think, in our generation, that's what's produced this.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you put a company like our original cast together?
Right.
You do it because you know people, and you have an innate sense of who people are, of character, of you're able to recognize someone else's ability to take what you've been given, to take what they've been given and elevate it.
Right.
And they put us in the position to elevate it.
Right.
You know, and it became this thing.
Right.
But it's easy to see how all of that energy is sort of continuing, because it starts from the very top. Lynn is the same person he was when I met him in 2002.
Yeah.
He's just who he is.
Yeah.
And he's consistent with everything, that everyone that he meets.
Yeah.
You know, and Tommy's the same way. Like, there just aren't many people in the world that I trust more than them when it comes to work.
Yeah.
And off work. You know what I mean? Like, if I needed anything, I could call either one of them,
right,
and they would help me, because that's what brothers do.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the way, you know, even not before I came into the Richard Rodgers, into the show, I knew you guys peripherally and knew who you were.
Yeah,
and was, you know, but I knew what kind of people you were.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it really says a lot, because word gets around in our business, you know, either way.
Especially the bad stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's just been such a pleasure getting to be a part of this experience with people like that, you know, and you have been so good to me personally.
Man,
and
I'm glad
that I get to
thank you
publicly. No, but I'm serious. You, from the get-go, you've come up to check in on me in my dressing room. When things have been going wrong in my family, you've asked about the health of family members,
of course,
or things going
on. Man.
You are a wonderful human being.
You're very sweet. You have to stop with all of those compliments.
I'm glad I get the chance,
Rory,
to say it.
You know, every time, you know, they say it, like, every time you start a new show, you're starting your life all over again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you do have a chance to, like, if you've had moments of unfortunate experiences with other shows, or you've just been going through a bad phase in your life, and you didn't meet the work the way you wanted to.
Right.
Whatever the thing is, every time you walk into a new show, you have another chance to start over.
Right.
So I try to do it better than I did the last time.
Yeah.
Hamilton was the fourth Broadway show I had done in 18 months when it started.
Wow.
And I felt like I'd had my first, you know, arguably first flop, you know, like Holler. Though we tried really hard, it just wasn't something that folks wanted to see, and it closed very quickly. There was no less honor in that.
No.
Because we did it the right way.
Right.
You know. And so my interest with this was really trying again to refine how I work and how I approach it, what I'm doing away from here. You know, I've always had a lot of things going on, but trying to do it better on all fronts. That, yes, I'm on the opposite schedule with my kids because they're in school, and my wife, God bless her, always takes on this tremendous sort of mantle while I'm over here on a stage, you know. So my goal was to try to do it better on all fronts going in.
Right.
And then, you know, we did Off-Broadway, and that was just sort of a horrible winter and hard and all this other, you know, and we were doing it for $5 a week, you know.
Yeah.
And okay, Broadway, great. Preview start. A week later, my father passes away. Mm. And that was just like this. I was just not prepared for that kind of, you know, for that.
Right.
Because that's its own thing.
Of course,
that's,
yeah.
You know, and so it, at that moment, it was really telling that I went home for 5 days. I came, 4.5 days, and I came back, and I didn't go home to drop my bags off. Okay, back from the airport, I came straight to the theater to work. Because the work was something that required, you know, I knew it was going to hurt to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I needed to get it out and get to it, get to that point as quickly as possible, put the medicine on it and start the, you know,
the healing
process. And when I come back here, you know, I got my best friend up there on the, you know, just feet away from me. Mm-hmm. And like, all it took was a look. And I knew it. I was okay being back here. I was like, okay starting the process of figuring all of the complexities of that event out while still doing the show.
Right.
And as with anything, when something like that happens and then you look up to see where you are, that then is now going to be linked inexorably with that event. The two events will be linked,
right,
you know, emotionally. And they have been, and they are, and they will continue to be after I'm long gone.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of shows can't carry you in a moment like that.
Right.
And this did. A lot of companies can't carry you in a moment like that.
Right.
And they did. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't cry at my dad's funeral. Mm-hmm. I cried when I had to tell the company that I had to leave for a week.
Right.
To go be at the funeral.
Right.
Because I felt like at that moment that I was letting the work down. Hmm. You know what I mean? Now, that may mean that I'm just absolutely obsessive and crazy. But for me, that was the emotional solace.
Yeah.
That was the... You know, that was the family that I knew that I was standing in the gap for, that I was being strong for every night,
right,
before that had happened.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the kind of thing I'm going to think about when I leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not the fact that I sing one last time.
Right.
One last time.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, which is like everybody sort of wants to know.
Yeah.
But it's team, the idea of team and the idea of being at your best for each other, whether anybody's watching or not. That's right. Character.
Right.
You know what I mean? And those kinds of things are just sort of, there's not a scale in which you judge that on. That's just what you wake up for and try to be every day, you know? And if you do it the right way, people benefit.
Right.
People benefit. Like you have a greater effect than just walking in the door and telling a joke and trying to be funny or trying to be the guy that everybody thinks looks the best or sings the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all of that stuff doesn't really get in the building like that.
Right.
You know, doesn't matter.
Well, we're really going to miss you around here.
Oh, man, you really won't, because I'm going to pop in.
I know. No one really gets away from this family, is what I'm feeling.
I will be downtown. If I'm in Times Square, I'm going to come in here and use a clean bathroom.
Right, right.
And have a cup of coffee.
Right.
And watch everybody else work really hard.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then I get to go.
we're in your dressing room right now.
Was this
your dressing room for In the Heights?
No, this was Lynn's dressing room.
Oh, this was Lynn.
And as soon as they had announced, as Tommy told me it was the Rogers, I was like, please, please don't make me be in the tower. Please let me get on the other. Please,
yeah,
God,
yeah,
in
yeah.
heaven, let me be on this side so
right.
that I don't have to like climb stairs anymore.
Yeah.
I was in the tower on the third floor,
right,
where the Schuyler sisters are now.
Right. I see.
But I loved it then.
Yeah.
But I've loved my little closet here.
This is a really beautiful room.
We're
going to miss you, and I know you're going to be around, but you are a leader, and that's why you're so good on stage. It's why you're so good as George Washington. It takes a very particular person to pull off George Washington.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
You are that person. You embody leadership and you raise the bar for everyone here. And I think that, you know, you're a spectacular guy, Christopher Jackson.
Yeah, you're going to really make me all misty, man. You got to stop.
Got to be on a stage
stop
with
you. Stop all that.
I am.
I can't wait to the next thing that you and I get to do.
Because,
see, you don't get to say enough words in this here show.
I know.
I was still giggling the other day about the speech that you, the first Broadway Care speech that
right.
you made. I was like, oh, God. Yeah, when Rory has more words, he's even funnier. Like, you slaying him with, like, just the minimum amount of verbiage of anyone in the show throughout your nine
just
minutes of
performance.
Just my
awkward nervousness making
but
people
you,
laugh.
Oh, my God.
Know?
It's But it's like there's such an edge to what you do that is just different. And just, I was like, oh, yeah. Yes, of course, Rory O'Malley, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it's not a game. It's not a game. We're grown-ups. Grown-ups are playing here.
That's right.
Yeah, it's going to be, it'll be fun, but you know. Yeah. I mean, now I can just sit up in your room and kiki with you.
Exactly. Well, come on up. I got a couch.
You don't really work.
I don't.
Much in the
don't
show.
Tell people that.
Oh, yeah, because it just it doesn't occur to them that you
that
know,
I spend most of my time at work in my underwear, sitting on a couch
in those red, it's white, and blue. So,
yeah,
my that's the enduring image.
Trunks.
You know,
I know,
that, right?
I know. I mean, hey, I just want everyone to remember where my true allegiance is.
I feel you.
I'm a real patriot.
Oh, my drawers are stars and stripes. Just so you know.
Yeah.
How would you characterize your time here thus far, man?
It's been the absolute greatest gift I've ever been given on a stage.
Dang.
In every single way. And Book of Mormon will always be special, and it's the first time,
first
and
love,
it's something
right?
that yeah. gave me yeah. a freedom and a joy that I'll be grateful forever. But this has been a dream. And the reason is because when I saw you guys do it at the Public downtown, I said, oh, this is the greatest thing that's been written in my lifetime. Mm. This is beautiful. When the cast album came out, I downloaded it that day.
Right.
And Gerald and I were driving around Los Angeles listening to every single song. So the fact that all of a sudden, just 8 months into the show, I was in
there
the show.
Yeah.
It was like I was in fifth grade and had just seen Les Mis, and someone said, guess what? You're on tomorrow,
you're
buddy.
On now.
Like, my head exploded. Yeah. You know, to get to join a show as a super fan. I'm a super fan of this show.
That's hilarious.
So it took me months to kind of calm down and to not just walk these halls of the Richard Rodgers with stars and in my eyes and just feeling like this is absolutely the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I can walk through the door and just be with my family,
right.
my team, you know,
right.
It's nice. So it's been a dream come true, and it's been a dream because of people like you. So
well, I appreciate you.
I'm really, really grateful that you would talk to me when I know you're a busy guy.
Podcast!
And you're about to leave, and that's right.
Man, it's so all good, and I know that... Well, I get to come back and enjoy you perform because I've only
right.
seen you from the side. I've only seen—I've
right.
never seen the show.
It's so much funnier up front, you know,
with the lights.
I'm
and
doing
the face
a lot more
the
with the front of my face than the sides. So.
Love it.
I've got to see you many times, and I'm just—I'm thrilled that I know you. I know Christopher Jackson, the man, now because he's a good dude.
I feel the same way about you, bro.
All right, thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you.
Audition, side job, swimming upstream. Believe it or not, you're living the dream.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.